from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster, also, it's time for the podcaster is here to give you more, but not more sensible words. It's time for Sleep With Me. I think sensible, I don't know if you can even make more sensible. I can't make any more sense, but I'm here to help you. You fall asleep. It's time for Sleep With Me. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me, so if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight right to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. I wanted to thank everyone that worked on the show. Chris Posey posters him from Sounds Like an Earful Studios, edited this episode, did the theme music. Jonathan Mann's on our lullaby. Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter. I'm in your smart speaker. As long as you have the tune-in skill enabled, you can just say, hey, smart speaker, play Sleep With Me, and then set your sleep timer. Also want to thank the listeners have their own Facebook group. You can shortcut there, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, N-O-D-S, and the moderators, Stacy, Lauren Keith, Julian, Jennifer, and Summer, and Sarah. And that's it. Let's keep the show going. Hey, up all night, tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble, getting to sleep, trouble, staying asleep. Welcome. Yeah, this is Sleep With Me, a podcast that puts you to sleep. We do is a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to do is take a regular place and make it safe, a safe place. I'm going to try to take your mind off of whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, travel, events, whatever's keeping you up. I'd like to distract you from that. The way I'm going to do it is create a safe place where you can set aside all that stuff that's keeping you awake. Maybe I mix it. A lot of times I mix up these, the way I'm going to create the safe place, I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I mean, I've only done like 600 something, intros. Send my voice across the deep dragon. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, extra stuff, you know, mumbles, word trips, word spillage. But really, I'm glad you're here. I want to create a safe place where you feel secure, welcome, invited. In some sense special, because I'm really glad you're here, and I really think you've taken a step to kind of try to help yourself fall asleep, so I hope I can help. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to be here to keep you company while you fall asleep. This is a podcast to put you to sleep. Technically, it's just here while you fall asleep. It's a podcast you barely need to listen to. You can just kind of tune into it, see how it goes, see what happens. Play it by ear. I guess it's kind of a pun. Or don't play it by ear. You know, barely play it by ear. Sleep With Me. Barely play it by ear. Don't let your, you know, don't play around with your ear. Just let your ear sit there. So don't play around with your, don't play, you could play with your ears if that's comforting, you know, gently. Because it really won't get in the way. This is a podcast you kind of listen to. It's here. It's rambling, kind of like when you're doing yard work back in the day. You would listen to, sometimes people would listen to baseball, or autumn they'd listen to football, or at least my dad would. And my dad was never super into sports, but he would put those on when he was doing yard work or outdoors work. And it was kind of a comforting background noise. You wouldn't even be really listening to it. It'd just be kind of a presence there. A reassuring, distracting presence to say, hey, well, I'm not really raking leaves here. I'm only kind of paying attention to the raking the leaves part. I guess for me, now, I don't live in a part of the country, well, I don't have a yard, and I don't live in a part of the country where the leaves necessarily fall off. So I don't do a lot of leaf raking. But I grew up in upstate New York where you would rake leaves, and then you would rake them into a pile. And you would jump in the pile. It's never the same as when they did it on cartoons, but it could be pretty good. And I guess for kids, that's the only purpose for raking leaves. And I guess even as an adult, let me introduce the podcast. Hopefully we'll come back to this leaf raking thing. If you're new, you don't need to listen, but you shouldn't feel any pressure to fall asleep. I'll be here for at least an hour to keep you company, to be your companion in the deep, dark night, to distract you, to reassure you, to validate you. It's tough not being able to fall asleep. I've been there. So I'd like to help. So I'll be here talking about, you know, kind of stuff, and then I'll tell a story after the Glass Slipper, our episodic series. It comes in modular format. You know, I'll do some nonsense making. Hopefully I'll put a smile on your face or make you feel warm. and that you can cuddle in, you can nestle in, because I'm here to help. But what was I saying? I was talking about leaves, but oh, so if you're new though, okay, so structure show, first 6 minutes are business, otherwise what we do. So if you sat through that, if you, you know, I understand, that's how we keep the podcast free and all our archives free. And everyone that supports the sponsors or is a patron, that's how we keep the show going. So if you're new, not super important. If you're a regular listener, just remember when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, Sleep With Me, it's a podcast that puts you to sleep. And you'll figure out the rest and say, okay, let me figure out how to check that or whatever. So 6 minutes of business. Then there's the intro, which we're like maybe 6 minutes into, that kind of tries to explain the podcast through a senseless, like tonight we'll try to explain it through leaf raking of leaves. Then there's a story. The story's about 40 minutes, 45 minutes. Then there's some thank yous. So I'll be here about an hour to keep, I'll be here for you. That's all I can tell you. Hopefully it helps you fall asleep. Give a few, show a few tries. I may grow on you, or I may grow on your nerves. And if it doesn't work for you, I understand. Try some LibriVox or some old time radio or something else. You know, I hope you find something that does help you fall asleep. So I think I forgot about all the leaf metaphors I had. I don't understand a lot about raking leaves because I've never owned a yard. I've never, like, as an adult, I've always lived in apartments. Or, like, I think once or twice I lived in a rented house with people. But, so as a kid, the whole purpose of rake leaves was so you could jump in them. And the fringe benefits were leaves have a good, nice smell. They have really nice sounds to them, depending on the degree of how dried out and how fresh they are. The ground in the fall, the grass has, it's thinner. So the earth has a different smell, and you're outdoors, and then my dad would be playing football or something on the radio, so that creates another layer. I guess in the nostalgic sense, another layer of nostalgia, but I don't know, just something about that format and the background noise, and even though it's inconsistent, the consistency and the rhythm, and then the fall air, the feeling of the fall air. Then also important is the fall sun, because you really don't want to be raking leaves if there's not sun out. And probably, like you're talking about, it's 2 or 3 p.m. sun, which I guess, I don't know. I'm not a colorist, but I'd say, you know, it's a little bit straw-like at that time. And it's weak, no offense to the sun, but it is a weak autumn. So I guess it's a late autumn sun we're talking about. And you're raking the leaves in order to jump in them. And I think the whole, I mean, maybe that was a good system. I mean, I don't know if that's evolution, probably not. But to say, hey, if we rake these leaves, then you can jump in them. But then you got to rake them again. And also transferring them, like raking them into a pile and then having to put them in a garbage can and carry them and all that stuff. That was never fun. Yeah, but here was always my question. I guess I never got a clear answer to it. And maybe common sense, you know, would prove me. But I guess I always said, why don't you just leave the leaves alone? Like, why do you need to rake leaves? And I thought there was something called, you know, especially if you take the leaves and you put them in compost. Why not just let the leaves compost where they lie? Let the leaves lie, I guess, would be what, if I was singing a song, I'd say lie to lie. Let the leaves lie. You know, they're not sleeping, but because they're in the deep sleep, permanent sleep of let sleeping leaves lie. And I can hear somebody saying, well, it's not good for the grass or whatever. And I say, well, hello, it's 2017. I think the verdict on grass, as nice as it is and as much as I love to lie in it, is out. But even if it's not, really? Is that proven? Can you show me some studies? Primary source, please. I'm not kidding. If you live in Syracuse, New York, where I grew up, and the leaves, your yard's full of leaves, you leave it, and then it snows, that's somehow worse for your grass than if you rake the leaves and then it snows. I mean, I would think the leaves, maybe the leaves, they don't deteriorate. So then you got to rake them in the spring. I mean, wouldn't they put some nutrients in the soil over the winter? It gives all those like aerating forest friends a chance to hide out. And maybe they're mating under those leaves and stuff. It just never got, and plus I just didn't want to do it. Like I'd say, okay, I don't mind raking leaves, making a pile somewhere in the yard and jumping in them. I'll rake them for that. But I don't know, am I the only person that's always wondered that question? I feel like this is one thing I feel like totally ignorant alone on. And you could reach out to me and let me know at hashtag let leaving leave maybe I need something better than that. I'm not good at hashtags, I guess. I mean, hashtag, I don't even know, let leaving leaves lie, or hashtag alliteration, autumn alliteration. How about that? There's a double. But seriously, I'm not kidding. Like, I never understood that. See, we're going to, okay, well, it's one thing if you're really bold, like you lived in the late 80s, you say, well, just put them on the corner. They'll go in the garbage dump. I mean, I could see people saying, well, that's not sustainable. But then you say, well, what are we burning all this energy for? Wait, so we're going to put the leaves in a compost pile for what? Oh, to sprinkle on the yard in the spring. You say, hold the phone, cowboy. What do we, like, I got a crazy idea. Let's just leave them there. Well, you can't do that. You can't. And I guess maybe it's like a neighbor thing. They say, hey, Ackerman, your yard's full of friggin' leaves. It looks like it's autumn. I mean, I guess I'm making a straw man argument because they say, yeah, no crap. It is autumn and it's great. You want some, come over for some cider. Yeah, the kids are going to jump in the leaves later and then they're just going to leave it. They're going to kick around the leaf pile, spread it out. Because I know we can't just leave leaf piles everywhere. You know, we're not, totally feral at this house. But, oh, yeah, you know it's autumn when our yard's full of leaves. It's great. Nature's compost, they say. Because literally, it is nature's compost. I don't think, and you know who loves it? All our forest friends. We're the most popular yard on the block. All the worms, that's where they hang, under the leaves in our yard. And they totally, our soil's so aerated. And you say, well, is this like, this is drought resistant, man. Like just leaving leaves around. And I know you'll know it's Halloween when you'll hear those leaves going across the street. And when that lovely Halloween sound of the leaves on the road and the wind. So you also have us to thank for that. So yeah, I think I am doing a great job leaving my yard full of leaves. If you don't mind me, punning around, but otherwise, leave me alone. Get it? You get it? I mean, I don't know if you were here to try to get me to turn over a new leaf or just to, overpun things, but I'm sure, like, smarter listeners than me came up with 10 more puns that I just missed. So rake that into a pun pile and jump in that one. So if you're new here, the podcast is a little bit like that. It's that was a tangent, and sometimes I'll go on those tangents and I'll say, why? And those of you that are more reasonable, that are like a little bit more well-adjusted like you, you'll say, Scoots, you're joking, right? You know how bad a yard looks full of leaves, or you say, you know it's not good for the grass. You're just kidding us, right? I'm a good citizen. I rake my leaves, and you could just have a laugh at my expense because I'm serious. I won't ever run for any office, but, you'd say who's on the Leave the Leaves Alone platform? Is the Green Party? Oh, they're with composted. They didn't get that memo I said about nature's compost. Oh, they said the only natural compost is the one between my ears. That's hilarious. Yeah, so there's no one taking up my leaf platform. Leave the leaves alone. Hey-ho, hey-ho, let's go. Well, I just want to know if you, okay, so I'm all alone with my leaves. Okay, well, I guess the leaves, nothing else to be said about it. So if you're new here, that's kind of podcast. Creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders. Friendly though. You say, well, what's more friendly than a glass of cider and kids jumping in leaves? The autumn wind, or a sports radio, local sports radio. So that's it. I'm glad you're here. I really hope this podcast can help you fall asleep because I've been there. I'm losing my voice suddenly. Yeah, but we're already 15 minutes into this one. So I appreciate you coming by. I appreciate you checking out the podcast. And I really hope I really earn to help you fall asleep, all right? Hey, before we get to the story, Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody. Oh, okay, let a man returning to my room here, flowing in by my bow, settling in with you, my dear, to get you comfortable. And to be here to help you fall asleep while you sleep. I guess you're napping here with all the babies. Seems they've brought more babies to my room, or this room. It's more of a chamber now. I didn't realize they took out that other wall there so they could fit more babies in here. I guess this is getting to be a bit of a nursery. Oh, the babies, some of you are awake, some most of you are asleep, but I'll be here to tell you about today's class. For those of you babies that have not met me before, oh, there's many different kinds of babies here. Oh, there's fairy god babies, regular human babies, babies of cross all. This is nice. Hello, babies. I'm Agatha. And if you haven't met me here, you might say, oh, you look like something a bit like a baby food. And I would say I am. I'm here to offer you food, babies. Food for your ears. But yes, I do look a bit like baby food. I am a lentil-based woman. But that does not change whom I am. A woman on a journey. And a journey just in the, from class to here where my bow, and I'll just keep it at that words, my close bow. I tie him up with an L-O-V-E-R, but you know, children don't need to understand that. He's my letter man. You could say the love of my life, but that would may indicate to some of you babies with your baby brains that he's the only love in my life, but he's the current love and the greatest love as he sleeps here on this quilt at the same level as all of your little cribs there, babies. Now, babies, someday this word will mean something to you, but today it will not. And also, I misused the word, and I found out that today. Pop quiz. Now, Shelley, turns out she's correct. She said the definition of a quiz is blah, 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 blah. Oh, you're giggling. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to have an audience here in my own room somehow. Who would have thought one day we could live in a world where a lentil-based woman could share a room, her own bedroom, by the way, if anyone's listening, with an assortment of babies across two different cultures. Oh, and many, you know, many different subcultures within those two, the fairies and the humans. And who would think that, actually, this is just my day bedroom where the letterman takes a nap, so it's not really like, it's totally outside of my boundaries. And, you know, my boundaries are much different, but yet they are the same as the lentil-based woman who flows from room to room. As we all do, real little babies. Maybe one day, you'll, you know, as things flow out of your body, and in some sense flow into them, I guess, the energy flows through your system. But enough about me. The words should be flowing. And the words today were pop quiz. And Shelley said, well, that's a quiz is something much different than an exam or a test. And I guess this was more of an exam is as many other meanings, babies. But in this case, it's somewhere between a quiz. I mean, I guess it's between a test and an exam. A version of a test, or a test isn't a version of, yeah, I think an exam is a version of a test. Turns out it's not a quiz. Quizzes are supposed to be, I guess they're simpler things. And this was not simple, but yet it was simple at the same time. So today was close to the middle of our semester here. I'm a teacher, by the way. If you babies hadn't picked up on that already, but I'm sure you did. And you said, well, this is a woman with authority. We should listen up as babies. We should sit up in our cribs and say, she has something to say. And I do. I'm here to talk to you babies, of course, and talk to you about the day. So I teach a class. My co-teacher, Shelley, she's a fairy woman. I don't know if you could say she's a fairy-based woman. I think fairy magic is not her basis, but it flows through her. And so we're co-teachers, and I had not consulted with her, even though I hadn't looked at either one of our syllabuses, syllabi, since the start of class. I kind of abandoned those things, and Shelley, she did a lot of sighing and pacing the last two classes, which I think, and maybe trying to point this out to me about that we were late for a quiz or an exam, we skipped all the quizzes. We missed all the quizzes so far. And so, you know, I sat down with Shelley, or she sat down by me, and I said, Shelley, as the children come in today, I'm going to announce something. But I didn't do that. I just announced it when the children, I said, it's time for a quiz. Put down your thingamajigs and eyes up. It's time for a quiz. And then the whole thing got sidetracked with, well, first, Shelley was surprised. That was followed quickly by displeasure, or those may have happened at the same time. Or maybe she had displeasure, then surprise, then greater displeasure with me in the situation. And also at the same time, this is the meta communication that was happening at the same time she was disagreeing and disagreeable about my usage of the word quiz. And so we had, it wasn't really a discussion. I think you would, children would call it talking at you. And I said, well, go ahead, Shelley, inform me about what a quiz is and is not, as if she was a mind reader. She may be a mind reader because she actually was correct. This was more of an exam, a midterm exam, not exactly at the middle of the term, but close enough. And a time for children to show me what they've learned thus far. So let's just skip over the Shelley part. So I said to the children, I said, okay, it's time to discuss what we've learned so far, thus far, this with my class and Shelley's class. Shelley has her own grading system that is probably still in a syllabus. And I said, let's start there, though. Who would like to be the first people to take the midterm? We're going to midterm exam, midterm test. Who would like to, and Shelley was shuffling papers, but I just kept going. I said, okay, because I think she had another test waiting for weeks, along with the quizzes, which I said, well, the quizzes are, I mean, how do you quiz about such things, myth and tales of the past? You know, I did try to make a grand appeal to Shelley, you know, saying things like that, you know, your history, the history of the very people. I tried to use a tone like this, as they do, the tales tellers, the bards, and the bards, when the bard works with a storyteller, or the bard, you know, I tried to take a tale. I said, Shelley, the grand experiment. And she said, this isn't an experiment. It was a, you know, I said, okay, okay. And meanwhile, the children's hands were up the whole time. The ones that raised their hands first. And I said, okay, you four, come up to the front of the room. And I say, quick, our first week, our first class, tell me what you learned and what you remember. And I said, you could work together. That will be part of your grading, though. And you have a few minutes, so get to work. And they quickly conferenced, blah, 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 whisper, whisper, whisper. And they chose one child to represent them. And they talked about different perspectives. And I said, well, tell me what you remember. And then another child in the group said, you and Shelley were disagreeing about who was going to teach the class. And I laughed, of course. Ha, ha, ha. And I said, we're co-teachers, of course, equal. You know, my teeth may have been together while I was saying this, if I, you know, the lintels that make up my teeth. And I said, oh, ha, 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 yes, oh, yes, co-teachers we are, though, correct. We were negotiating. And then she kind of said, well, Teacher Shelley wanted to save memories of our culture, and look at what happens when our culture, you know, we lost the fairy homeland, and now we live in this human environment, and what has happened, and why do these myths and tales exist? What did they do for us? Does it give us a sense? And she said, and you wanted to talk about heroes and villainy, and a very similar thing, but from a different perspective. I think of Shelley was coming at it from necessity, and you were coming at it from interest and curiosity. And she was a fairy person, so she said, you know, it feels different to me. And I think she greatly related to Shelley's pride and a deep connection to her ancestry, which is a very important thing. And I said, oh, bravo. I said, A, go sit down. You have an A. And then the next child in the group, the one, the spokesperson, he said, well, you know, I also learned about compromise. He was a little nervous, obviously, because she had just gotten, like, trying to figure out the right thing to say. And then another child started talking, saying the same thing as the girl who got an A. And I said, no. Do I look like a pit of lentils or a pit of fools? Because, and a couple of kids giggled. I said, yeah, that was a good one, wasn't it? I have to work on it, but a pit of fools, you know, I think that, and then the kids said, don't work on it. And I said, A, you haven't even stood up, but you interrupted class, and most delightful, you get an A. And I said, thank you. And then someone said, even Shelley huffed, and I said, moving on, what were you saying about compromise? And you were restating what she said. Anyway, you, the spokesperson, they said the name, but I said, I'm here to give grades, not validation. That was kind of a joke, but not really a joke. But he said, this young man said, oh, you know, I saw how you two compromised, built consensus, and went on and on about how you had different, like kind of more matter of, I said, okay, are you finished, or are you going to ramble on? I said, B, you did pretty good, B. And then he said, well, and I said, well, maybe, I said, what is supposed to be the average, C plus? And then he sat down quickly with his B. And then this next young person in the group said, oh, like, I was thinking a lot about the icebreakers and how we are children, we are the ice. And I said, this is going to be good. Then she said, the tales and the myths are like the warm sun and the rain. And we as young children are blocks of solid ice up in the north, the farthest northern lands. Endless, cold, solid ice. And as the myths and the tales rain down on us, as they warm us, they cause us to expand, which I think is technically, I can't remember if ice expands or contracts. I can't, the alchemy class I took, she said, you know, causes us to crack and break open and be exposed to the air and to the world and the sky. And not just on the surface, she said. Oh, this was good. She took on the bard's tale tone, the BTT, as I'll call it from here on out. And she said, but deep fissures form within us as we crack open. As we get exposed, the deeper they go. And we begin to change, and we begin to move as the glaciers or something. And then I had to stop. I said, what do you mean? Those are moving, those things. I went on that tour one time with the giant ice, the glaciers, and they said, it's a river of ice. I thought it was a term, but she said they're really moving just very slowly. And then she said, with what the rain brings, the flavor of the rain. Oh, what a term. I said, what a term. I said, A, but keep going. Maybe I'll give you an A plus. And Shelley said, well, the grading system isn't equipped. I said, grading system. Shelley, you're so silly. As the rain, the flavor of the rain washes over us in the wind. Don't forget that things are carried on the wind, she said. Growth begins, not just our growth, but growth landed upon us, thrusted upon us, within us, and on us, other plants. And you know, and she's talked about this, you know, basically the circle of life is the most boring way to describe it. And then she talked about flowering and sublimation. Oh, she said, it was sublime listening to her talk about sublimation. I didn't think of that joke till now. It needs work, I know. And then she said something else, that as we melt and flow, we slake the thirst of animals at the watering hole. We enable the gathering at the watering hole, which enables the feeding of those that prowl at the watering hole. And beyond and beyond and beyond. And then I said to her, okay, here's the breaker for the A of the A. Beautiful, by the way, but this is not a poetry class, unfortunately. But I said, what did you really learn? And she said that this is a beautiful, putting my hands in these nearly myths that you would say are dirty like the dirty earth. But really, it's just rich and wonderful. And I have to give you a hug. I know it violates everybody. I said, go ahead and complain. Cinderella's the queen and I'm a stepmother. And they said, okay, next group, who would like to take the next round of class? You know, we'll pick an equal number of groups. And then people tried doing wisecracks, and I said, okay, that's a half a grade. You're down, you know, you're starting with like an A minus, a B plus. And then they looked at the kid I gave the A to, and he said, this isn't a dynamic class. I have to keep your brains full of plasticity. And then I realized, Shelley said, what is, and I said, well, like a glacier, I have to keep it flowing. So, you know, and I said, anyway, who was up next? And they came to the front of the room, another small group. And I said, I know this is very early in our class, but tell me about the Clam King and Binella. And the children were a little stumped at first because it was so far long ago. And at first they pointed out specific detail. Clam King lives under the sea. Binella is like a spring queen. Her mother, they said the stranger atmosphere. They talked about all these things. And I said, okay. And then another child, she had a bit of a look on her face. And I said, what is with you? What is with that look on your face? It's almost a frowny. I said, is there something about this tale you did not like? And she said, a lot of it, actually. I did not like how Binella was free. And then the Clam King and all, you know, the dark under the sea. Like, she didn't choose to go. Like, the Clam King took her along to live with her and then eventually say, well, this isn't... And I said, oh, yes. I said, okay, you're learning something. And someone interrupted her and talked about the power of attention and the growth. It was a good point. I said, but I'm here with her. They said, power of attention and the growth it brings and... how things showered with Binella's kindness seemed to do well in her interest. They said, all good points. And I said, back to Binella and you, young lady. She said, well, you'd think the being of a child of a god would be wonderful, you know, nonstop run through the field of flowers. But she goes, it's not comfortable or predictable at all. And it seems quite unpleasant to be Binella and to have your fate under the control of your elders' whims. And then the children seemed to take over. Another child in her group said to her, well, isn't making the best of a bad situation a good thing? And she said, well, I wasn't commenting on the facts of the matter, but more of how it felt and how it might feel to be a goddess or a demigoddess. As we've been learning in this class, it's terribly strange. And then another child said, well, I was more curious about if helping others is a truly a gift, or is it a gift at your own expense? And then another child said, well, I was surprised that, you know, the atmosphere is all around us all the time. I like that. It helps me stay calm. And then the children started to chatter, and I said, okay, focus, what are you chattering about? And someone said, well, is it really our goal? And this child was speaking on behalf of the fairy culture, I believe, to build a win-win consensus at all costs. So what is the cost of, what does it mean to build a win-win consensus? And what does it mean if, are we Binellas or... are we atmospheres? Are we the stranger coming? Or are we, you know, and I said, or are you all of them? Because babies, I know that you're listening, and that's one thing I heard about you. It's all about you. And I guess I never stop being a baby, because even though I'm a lentil-based woman, I still believe that's true. So keep on doing it, babies. You're doing a great job. And I said to the children, I tell you what, you all get A's. Go sit down. And then, someone huffed, said, and I said, okay, B plus for you for huffing. And I said, great job, though. Very nice. And then I said, next group, who's up next? And a group came to the front, and I said, okay, tell me about what was the theme in this tale about Demag and Jalid? And someone said, friendship, or what does it mean to be friendship? Or what if it's more than being, were they more than friends? That's what I was wondering. And then someone, and they were looking at the back of the room, and another student, they said, can you fall in love with your friends? Is that, and if your friends, can you fall in love? And he said, those are two different questions, young man. And neither has an easy answer, as this tale showed us, correct? And Shelley thought that was leading. She said, leading, and I said, teaching question, Shelley, actually, not a leading question, a teaching question. And then another child said, well, I find humans very strange, to be honest. What is it that drives you to act these ways? Why? And they said, well, who's the human in the tale? And the child said, this is a representative tale. And I said, my goodness, that is perceptive, or is, and I said, Shelley, is that correct or perceptive? I want to include you so you feel like a co-teacher. And Shelley said, it's a bit of a rabbit hole, you know, if we start asking if Demag and Jalid were humans, even though they weren't humans in the story. And I said, I said, are we perpetuating myths, or are we perpetuating myths about myths, Shelley? And she looked at me like I was full of madness, and I laughed because I said, you'll be thinking about that later at lunch, Shelley. And she actually smiled because she thought it was funny. And also, and I had already forgotten because I said, I think it's one of those thought experiments that just gives you a brain scramble. But then the children began to chatter about WTF, these humans, and what are you doing? And I said, okay, let's not get distracted here. Let's focus on Demag and Jalid. What else are you feeling or remembering about this myth or story? And one of the very quietest childs in the class, a student, that you always has his shoulders slumped and his head down. He kind of half raised his hand. And he said, I can't forget about the 1%, the emptiness within the story, or, you know, Demag and Jalid, 33, 33, 33, to make a hole, it does not make the hole, it leaves a hole, and I can't forget about that hole in them, that 1% that was so empty. Yet at the same time, so full, so ripe with fullness. That makes me think about the humans, that 1%. And it makes me think about me, because I'm half human. And do I have that emptiness within me? Do we, do I have a 0.5% or a 2%? Do us fairy people... You know, because I think what my fellow students were saying is correct. What is with these humans? And, you know, what is with these strange desires I have sometimes that don't seem to make any sense? And why would a great people like the fairy people with a great power, why are we not repulsed by it? Why are we drawn to it to help? And Shelley almost fainted at this, and the class was so silent with the relatability, with feeling that 1% stream, that little empty sliver, or in some cases a hole within us. It was a golden. And why aren't we drawn away? Why don't we turn our backs? Is it because we fit into that slice? Is it because... It calls to us? Is it because we can relate to it, because we have the same thing within us? And I said, holy power of myth, you all get A+. Go sit down. I said, I could use some tobacco here. I said, who can relate to these feelings? And Shelley, what do you have to say? And then Shelley made a little, is it a soliloquy? About myth, and yes, this is why I teach myth, because of these questions. And I've started to love Shelley as a peer, I guess you would say. He said, "Oh, Shelley." She said, "This is why I yearn to teach, because of the questions that remain, the questions that draw us in. Do these tales?" And I said, "Whoa, whoa, Shelley, don't say do these tales offer any answers, because we're still in the middle of an exam here, which needs answers by your definition of a quiz." And Shelley even laughed at herself. And then I said, "Okay, next group, a girl without a bird song was our next thing. Who would like to comment on that?" And the students came forward and they talked about the E word, E-V-I-L. Then they talked about persistence in the face of adversity and faith and hope. And then they talked about the persistence of Basil Bob representing the E word. And that was, you know, was that a driving force, or again, like a force at the back of the minds that makes them, you know, have to self-soothe? And I said, good questions. We love those questions, don't we, Shelley? And then another student said, "Well, I think a lot about human parents and parents in general, and how the echoes of the parenting through their children and through the generations of the human ancestors, and that a lot of behavior the last group was talking about, the terribly confusing behavior or more. What is going on with the fact that the parents are human? What if all human children lived with two fairy parents? What would that mean?" Because, and Shelley said at the end of humanity, this is what makes them human. And the strange, how confusing interconnectedness can be, I believe, that I don't understand. I believe I don't understand it. I believe it fills me with disbelief. And I said, interesting. And he said, "And yet Basil Bob in this tale would not relent." And another child added, "What about all the beauty in the world, despite the persistence of all these things, that the girl without birdsong was deprived of, yet was so vivid to experience the song and the taste, and the smells that are all around us every day, that are constantly there to remind us how special those experiences are. And, you know, not, that is where some persistence can come from." And I said, "Ace, go ahead and sit down. I give you all A's because you all deserve it. So holy moly." And then we talked about the mother of all alchemy or whatever the tale. I said, "Okay, next group." And I think they talked about like human behavior and evolution, which is confusing this child. I said, "This is over my head." And I said, "Actually, and literally, since I'm a pit of lentils, and I can make myself taller than you when I'm in humanoid form, but..." He said, "I'm not sure I understand." And the child looked at me and said, "Well, why are stepmothers so mean?" And I said, "In these tales or in general, because I'm thinking of a word that starts with F in my head." And the child said, "Both, I guess, though I've never had a stepmother." And I said, "Well, maybe I will share my tale for another class." But I said, "In these tales, is the stepmother representative of stepmothers or of something else?" And the child said, "I don't know." And a classmate came to their aid and said, "What if what you said about evolution is true, about human behavior and growth and change, that this behavior is necessity for the children in this tale? They almost had to act on their own to get the help of the fairy godmother. And the behavior of a stepmother put them in a position where they needed to improvise, needed to act for themselves, needed to come up with a solution, and ultimately needed to seek help. And Shelley liked that answer, as did I. But then the child came back. The other child said, well but that behavior just leads to more behavior. It leads them right back in a circle, because then they perpetuate the same behavior later on, do they not? And I said, well, not in the tale. And Shelley kind of talked about something about the darkness that light springs from, that maybe the books, I think something more of a fairy metaphor that I didn't quite understand, something about the light within them, seeking the darkness, and how the books represented that. I didn't quite get it. And about not giving the answers to the children, but leading the answers and creating this, helping create the solutions. But really, it was about the children being open to be assistance and to being helped by the fairy godmother in this situation. And in reality, being on a path towards healing, not a circular path, Shelley said, but maybe a path that circles back on itself before it goes forward. And I said, very good A's. I said, A plus for Shelley, and the children laughed at that, but I meant it. And I said, okay, last group, and they came up to talk about the frog, the singing frog story, which involved a lot of distraction because, you know, they said, well, what is it with kissing frogs? It's gross. And then someone said sad songs say so much, the sad song of the frog and the little boy. And I said, I like that. I do like that. And then someone said, help comes in mysterious and strange ways sometimes. And it can spring out of the earth like a spring of water. And they said, and then someone said, well, humans will do anything for money, for magic pennies, I think. I said, what did you say magic pennies? I don't remember any magic pennies from that story. And then Shelley laughed at this because the child said, well, being kind and getting back at someone go great together. And I said, well, technically that is what happens in that tale, to the stepmother, of course. And then we get back on the kissing frogs, which is, kissing frogs makes weird things happen. It's still gross. What does a frog taste? A kid tastes like kissing a frog. Why did it make the mother have strange dreams and visions? Then we had to talk about psychotropic things, because he said, well, sometimes... And they said, never mind. And then, but Shelley had already started talking, and the children said, wait a second, if you lick a frog, things will get weirder than weird. And then I said, okay, Ace, just please sit down. And then they said, well, they talked about the stepmothers. And I said, okay, last group is all of you. All of you have a chance to raise one another's grades. Let's talk about the 12 children with the extra children, you know, the 6 and the 6 plus the 2. And then someone said, well, how do humans make babies again? And someone said, by kissing. And so I said, okay, minus grade. Everyone's starting with a B+ now. Equal grades all around. And then someone said, what do the towers in the story symbolize? And someone said, patriarchy. And I said, oh, boy, I like that. And I said, and when they crumble and the towers lose their... towering, it represents the crumbling of that as well. I think only Shelley got that joke. It wasn't really, it's true. And they talked about the power and the control. And the children, especially the children, you know, they're very confused by how adults behave. And that was what we talked about for the rest of the class. How these myths are not exactly comforting, they're much more challenging, these tales. They're weird, they're strange, the children all agreed on that. The people behave strangely. A lot of times they don't make any sense. They're somewhat, they give you the chills or whatever you want to call that. There's not a nice behavior. Parents and stepmothers are both, you know, the worst, I think the children said. And they bring up lots of questions, and I said, if the babies could hear you, they would say yes. And they said, well, it's not easy being a fairy godparent or a human or a parent or a stepmother or a child. But it is a beautiful world that we get to live in, that we get to inhabit. And it was a beautiful thing, the way the children, and I said, well, okay, A's for everybody, except for you, the one I forgot what, I guess A's for everybody, because I forgot I gave someone a, I said, maybe I didn't give, and I said, A plus for Shelley. And Shelley said an A plus, and I said, no, I'm only here to enable the questions with my questionable behavior and my questionable syllabus and my questionable grading system. My questionable recall about what is a quiz and what is not a quiz. But I'm so glad to be here with all of you babies. You know, somehow now my room is converted to a nursery so that you could all listen to me tell you tales, recount the classroom, to plant these ideas in your head like the ice that the children once were. The ice from whence you came, maybe. I guess the ice of the ego, maybe, Shelley. I think Shelley did say that. Is this part of breaking up the ego? I think I've said, what is it? I get confused about those things. Maybe because of my baby-like nature, where it's all about me. And I don't know if these seeds could be pre-planted in all of you children here, lying here, resting. Most of you now sleeping. But some of you still watching me here, listening to my voice, and I'm glad. I mean, it would have been nice if Cinderella would have said, okay, Agatha, what do you think of us converting your room into a nursery so that you can comfort the babies with your chattering? Instead of just adding, you know, first it was her baby, then it was a couple other babies, and now, I don't know, what do we get, 30 babies in here? Also would be nice to have a title, the baby chatterer or something, teacher of babies and babes. Maybe that's what I'll do next. I'll start teaching the livestock of these tales so they know it as well. Oh, but babies sleep so well, rest so well. Agatha is here to escort you to dreamland, and may let a man still sleep soundly too. Oh, I will rest here in the summer sun. It feels like the summer sun today. Good night. I want to say thanks and good night to some new patrons, Christy, April, and Cam. Thanks and good night. Jenny, Joey, Jenny, Jody, and Aaron. Thank you and good night. Acacia, Mary, and Joe. Thanks and good night. Ben, Devorah, and Caleb, thanks and good night. Carrie, Skylar, and Karen, thanks and good night. Steve, Tracy, and Gail, thanks and good night. Scott, Sars, and Janine, thanks and good night. Taylor, Kat, and Andy, thanks and good night. Brian, Lisa, and Kate, thank you and good night. Chauncey, Zeppelin, and Mary, thank you and good night. Jennifer, Tamara, and Adam, thanks and good night. Lo, Kelly, and Nora, thank you and good night. Carla, Andrew, and Laura Lee, thanks and good night. Scotty, Bridget, and Lex, thanks and good night. Kat, Holly, and Sachi, thanks and good night. Amy, Ashwin, and Lindsay, thank you and good night. Ashley, Jeannie, and Trisha, thanks and good night. Karen, Louise, and Tamara, thanks and good night. Ashley, Aaron, and Chris, thank you and good night. Linnea, Emily, and Megan, thank you and good night. Dee, Mary, and Brian, thank you and good night. Andrew, Vikram, and Greg, thanks and good night. Melissa, Carala, and Adrian, thanks and good night. Corey, Kara, and Jala, thanks and good night. Jessica F., Jessica and Joe, thanks and good night. Joe, Aurora, and Jeffrey, thanks and good night. Cynthia, Sarah, and James, thank you and good night. Camilla, Keith, and Jacob, thanks and good night. Sharon, Fred, and Jay, thanks and good night. Jesse, Matt, and Steve, thanks and good night. Karen, Barb, and Beth, thank you and good night. Carl, William, and Matt, thanks and good night. Tessie, Eric, and Michael, thank you and good night. Cassie, Jeff, and Jack, thanks and good night. Megan, Fiona, and Ben, thank you and good night. Jamie, Thomas, and Maria, thank you and good night. Veronica, Mick, and Hazel, thanks and good night. Lindsay, Larissa, and Bonnie, thank you and good night. Lisa, Scarlett, and Effie, thanks and good night. And Kathleen, Joaquin, and Dave, thanks. Thanks so much. Thanks and good night. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now, I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcast, iCatcher, Pocket Casts, and on Android you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in this, my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets season 1 part 2, almost 6 hours. That's is about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd all intro episode came out, and then we had March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like, we're getting ready, big announcement, if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabelix, so that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off, and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.